Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for holding and welcome to the Bashneft Q3 2013 financial results call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question and answer session, at which time, if you wish to ask a question, you will need to press star and one on your telephone. I must advise you that this conference is being recorded today on Monday, the 25th of November, 2013. I would now like to hand the conference over to your first speaker today, Maria Redina. Please go ahead.
Good morning and good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to our results conference call. Today, we have with us our CEO, Alexander Kocik, our CFO, Denis Stankevich, and our VP for Strategy and Development, Igor Marchenko. Now, I will read a short disclaimer. Certain statements in this presentation may contain the assumptions of forecasts with respect to forthcoming events within Bashneft Group. The words expect, estimate, intend, will, could, and similar expressions identify forward-looking statements. We wish to caution you that these statements are only predictions and that the actual events or results may differ materially. We do not intend to update these statements to reflect events and/or circumstances occurring after the above-mentioned date or to reflect the occurrence of anticipated events. Many factors could cause the actual results of Bashneft Group to differ materially from those contained in our projections of forward-looking statements, including, among others, the deteriorating economic and credit conditions, our competitive environment, risks associated with operating in Russia, rapid technological and market changes in our industry, as well as many other risks, especially. Now, I would like to hand over to our CEO, Alexander Kocik, who will update you on our recent results. Please, Mr. Kocik.
Ladies and gentlemen, good morning and good afternoon. Thank you very much for joining us again during our quarterly conference call. I'll talk about our operational results, and then I will ask Denis Stankevich, our CFO, to give you a flavor of our financials for the third quarter. Crude production. As it became a tradition, we increased once again. The difference between the production in the third quarter in comparison to the second quarter is 5.3%. If we speak about average daily production, the difference is 4.2%. I'm just reminding you about our promise made 2 years ago, if I'm not mistaken, that for a couple of years, we would maintain the level of production approximately at 15 million tons. As you can see, we are maintaining this level of production, and we can look at the number of roughly 15.7 in Bashkirian and Ханты-Мансийск oil fields only by the end of this year, not to mention Treps and Titov. Our refining. Refining increased as well. We increased it by 5.1% in comparison to the second quarter. Third quarter was much better from economic point of view. There was a strong demand in the market for mostly for gasoline, and we managed to sell out all our stocks to minimal level, which is necessary for normal operations. It was cost efficient to increase production, so that's what we have done in the third quarter. Treps and Titov oil fields, which are always causing the interest of different parties. Everything goes well in Treps. We started Treps, I will remind you, on the 1st of August, and the field is producing as it was expected. Sometimes slightly better, sometimes slightly worse, but on average, exactly in line with our plans. We will drill 3 development wells in Treps by the end of this year, and we drilled 1 development well in the field named after Titov, and it's producing 260 tons per day, exactly in line with our plans. As to the license agreement is being fulfilled in line with all the regulations, and no problems with this license agreement. You remember that we had a slight problem when we made 3D seismic instead of 3D, but I would say it's a minor problem. It's not even a problem. It's an issue which will be resolved in the beginning of 2014, as soon as it is allowed to work to do seismic in the Nyenzhou-Tomomoz region, and after that the license will be absolutely clean, 100% clean. After that we plan to make amendments to the license, so they will be foolproof, and after that we'll transfer the license to Bashneft Polyus, our joint venture with Lukoil. If to summarize, our results of our operational activities in third quarter, I would like to say that it's the best quarter in terms of operations since the beginning of a new history of Bashneft, it means 2009. Except for just operations, I would like to mention that we're continuing our strategy aimed at, I wouldn't say getting rid, it's not the proper word probably, at outsourcing of our non-core activities. We sold petrochemical company to AFK Sistema. We sold our services to AFK Sistema, and we sold our minority stake in Belcomneft to the interested parties. I believe that company became much simpler without any non-core activities existing right now in it, except for some buildings, farmhouses, etc., which we still have in Bashkiria and which we are trying to sell as soon as possible. Otherwise, it's functioning in line with the proper model of an oil company: production, refining, and sales. And the last but not the least, I would like to emphasize the fact that we managed to pay 50 billion rubles of dividends for this year without in any way increasing debt EBITDA level beyond the level which is quite satisfactory from our point of view, and I believe from the point of view of the market. And the last thing I would like to mention, we are going to pay these dividends by the end of the year. Those are major operational results, and now I will pass the word to Denis Stankevich, who will give you more details about financials and some other things, and I will be ready to answer your questions when the time will come. Thank you very much.
Добрый день, дамы и господа. Несколько слов о дополнительных экономических результатах компании в третьем квартале. Прежде всего, стоит отметить, что макроэкономическая ситуация в третьем квартале 2013 года благоприятствовала компании, и цена на нефть составила 110,3 доллара за баррель против 102,4 во втором квартале. Курс доллара также был выше, чем во втором квартале, и все это стало основным драйвером увеличения показателей EBITDA, который вырос относительно второго квартала на 41,7%. Если сравнивать 9 месяцев этого года с 9 месяцами года предыдущего, то мы находимся примерно на том же уровне по показателю EBITDA при чуть более худших показателях макроэкономических, которые сложились на протяжении 9 месяцев.
Good afternoon and good morning, dear ladies and gentlemen. Now I would like to say a few words about additional economic performance that the company showed in the third quarter. First of all, I would like to note that the macroeconomic environment in Q3 2013 was favorable to us, and the oil price amounted to $110.3 per barrel against the $104 in the second one. The dollar exchange rate was also higher than in Q2, and all of this put together acted as the main driver behind the improvement of the EBITDA, which grew as opposed to the second quarter by 47.1. And so if we take a look at and compare the 9 months of this year with the previous year's 9 months, we are at approximately the same level as far as the EBITDA is concerned against a slightly worse macroeconomic conditions which set themselves up throughout the course of this year's 9 months.
Относительно объемов добычи и переработки, как уже отметил президент, они были выше. Еще несколько важных поинтов, которые были в нашей компании в течение третьего квартала. Как вы видите из наших результатов, более существенно выросла выработка вакуумного газоля, нежели выросли объемы переработки. Рост составил 38,5%. Связано это с тем, что на нашем заводе «Уфа-Нефтехим» проходил ремонт установки каталитического крекинга 1А1М. Именно это вызвало существенный рост выработки объемов вакуумного газоля. Еще одним важным моментом является распродажа стока, который также отметил президент. Мы продали примерно на 150 тысяч нефтепродуктов больше, нежели выработали в этом году, и основным драйвером были бензин, мазут и дизельное топливо. Это позволило нам получить лучшие результаты, чем это было бы, если бы мы продали объемы во втором квартале. Как мы отмечали на предыдущем звонке, условия, в которых мы продавали нефтепродукты в третьем квартале, были существенно лучше условий второго квартала. Я имею в виду ценовые условия.
And in terms of the volumes of production and refining, as already has been mentioned by our CEO, they were higher. And also a few more important points which the company demonstrated in the course of the third quarter. As you may note, looking at our results, we've got a more considerable growth in terms of the production of the vacuum gas oil compared to the volumes of refining. It was 38.5%, which can be explained by the fact that at our Ufa-Neftechim refinery, we had the catalytic cracking unit being upgraded, and that brought about a considerable growth in terms of the output of the vacuum gas oil. Another important consideration was the sale of the stock, which is something that the CEO also referred to. We sold approximately, in terms of the refined products, worth 150,000 more than we have produced this year, with the gasoline, fuel oil, and diesel fuel being the main products, which enabled us to achieve the results better if we were to sell these volumes in the second quarter. As we had noted during the previous conference call, the conditions against which we were selling our refined products in the third quarter were much better compared to the second quarter, specifically meaning the pricing environment.
Несколько слов об ожиданиях до конца года. Мы наблюдаем на сегодняшний день хорошую конъюнктуру на рынке как внешнем, так и внутреннем. Цены на внутреннем рынке нефтепродуктов не демонстрируют такого кардинального падения, которое происходило в прошлом году. Вследствие этого мы надеемся на получение позитивных результатов по итогам всего года в целом.
And a few words about our expectations before the end of this year. We are currently looking at a good environment in the market, both domestically and externally. In terms of the domestic refined product market, we see that the prices are not demonstrating such a dramatic decline, which we recall from the last year. And consequently, we are hoping to achieve some very good results considering the year end.
Относительно капекс в третьем квартале 2013 года, его размеры сопоставимы с капексом во втором квартале. Если же сравнивать 9 месяцев года 2012 и 2013, то капекс в 2013 году выше, и связано это с вложением в месторождение Трепс-Титова.
And with regard to capital expenditure, in the third quarter of 2013, its size is comparable to the CAPEX size in Q2. And if we compare the 9 months of 2013 to the 9 months of 2012, our CAPEX level in 2013 is higher, which can be explained by our investments into the Trepson Titov field.
И несколько слов о управлении долгом. На конец третьего квартала долг компании составляет примерно 80 миллиардов рублей, что существенно ниже того долга, который был на конец второго квартала, и ниже долга, с которым мы заходили в начало этого года. Этого удалось достичь также благодаря хорошему операционному потоку от деятельности компании. Кроме уменьшения тела самого долга, мы также поработали над ставкой и над структурой этого долга. Больше размер долга перешел в валютные обязательства, и ставка средневзвешенная по долгу была снижена с 84% до 7,78%.
And a few words I would like to also say about our debt management. By the end of the third quarter, the company debt is approximately 80 billion rubles, which is considerably lower than the amount of debt we had by the end of the second quarter and lower than the level of debt that we entered with into this year. We managed to achieve it, amongst other things, thanks to the good cash flow from the operations of the company. And apart from reducing the debt principal, we also did some work over the structure of the debt as well as the interest. The bigger size of the debt was converted into our hard currency obligations, and the average interest throughout it was lowered from 8.4% down to
7.78%.
Well, dear colleagues, this is it, and now we are ready to answer your questions.
Thank you. As a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press the hash key. Once again, it's star and one to ask a question. Your first question comes from the line of Andre Grumach of JP Morgan. Please ask your question.
Yes, good afternoon. I have two questions. First one on the deals with Sistema. You sold Petchem and TFS business for 10.3 billion rubles in September and recognized $10.4 billion losses on these transactions. And is my understanding correct that the company transferred 5.8 billion cash to Sistema with these assets? And what was actually EV at the date of transactions, i.e. what was net debt at Petchem and OFS business, if you can indicate any numbers? And second question on CHEPS and Titov, could you maybe indicate what's initial flow rate on development wells you just launched at TREPSA and Titova fields? I understand that this should be three wells in total. Thank you.
Andrei, thank you very much for your questions. Probably I will start with a general answer. If you need any details, my colleagues will help me. First, about the sale of the assets, petrochemical company and services. I believe the question was related to these companies. Petrochemical company. The assets of petrochemical company are Ufaur Synthes, our old petrochemical plant, which requires modernization, bisphenol. It's a unit which used to belong to one of the refineries of Bashneft, but was transferred to United Petrochemical Companies for technological reasons, and to Mazi. I would say that value of gas processing plants, which are quite old, is zero. They're not going to produce any profits. Bisphenol is producing losses for a number of years. It will be quite hard for a new management to cope with these losses and to reduce these losses. Ufaur Synthes is producing profit, but again, it's quite old and it will require modernization. So basically, what was sold is a combination of assets, some of which are producing profits, some of which are producing losses, and our valuation of these assets was based exactly on discounted cash flows which could have been produced from these assets. I would like to stress that from a formal point of view, we made an independent valuation of these assets, so everything is in order. Here, as to business, I'm quite happy that we received the amount of money for these assets for which we have sold these assets, because Sistema can have great plans for these assets, but they're just only the base for future very significant projects which would require very significant capex, and it's not a task for Bashneft to deal with petrochemical problems, petrochemical products. We are much better in what we are doing. We are much better in producing crude, in refining, and in marketing, and it's not our business. So I believe it was a very good deal for Bashneft because we sold the assets for their DCF valuation. If we speak about the services, the situation is similar. We should forget about accounting because it's just paper money, and you can create an accounting either negative or positive results. But with if the company didn't have orders from Bashneft, if the company wasn't a customer and not a customer, a service provider for Bashneft, the value of the company would have been zero. We agreed before the sale that Bashneft and services would sign a long-term contract for 3 years where services would have roughly 70% of orders from coming from Bashneft for first 3 years, generally gradually decreasing. All relations are on market conditions. The prices which are defined right now are based on tenders, which we held for remaining 30%, and Bashneft Service Neaktive or service company will have the same prices as outside service providers will have for Bashneft. Based on this long-term contract and on the assumption what kind of orders Bashneft Service Neaktive will have from Bashneft, the valuation is exactly which we had when Sistema paid us that amount of money which you know about. I believe both deals are extremely advantageous for Bashneft because I would say we received the money exactly in line with valuation of these companies first. So it's zero game for Bashneft from one point of view. Another point of view is that right now we don't have to deal with lots of problems associated with non-core assets. And as you know, it's usually a huge problem for any company which is dealing with non-core assets. They are sometimes consuming more time than key business, and people are losing their concentration on doing their job efficiently. I think I've answered in general. If you need any more details, we'll be able to answer as well. As to Trebs and Titov, flow rates of the wells are different. They're starting from 150-something going to 300, 400, something like that. They're all different, but on average, they're almost in line with what we planned. In some cases, they're slightly higher. In some cases, they're slightly lower. But I would say that calculations of our geologists are very, very accurate, and we are doing exactly in line with our plans. I hope, Andrei, that I have answered your questions. Thank you very much.
A couple of follow-ups. I understand the rationale between in disposing Pithchem and OFS. It makes a lot of sense. Just trying to understand exactly details. So you received money from Sistema already because in third quarter I don't see actually cash proceeds to Bashneft from these deals. Only $5.8 billion. Cash outflow, actually. And on Trebs and Titov, 100 and 300, that's tons per day, right?
Yes, Trebs and Titov, it's tons per day. You're exactly right. Trebs is producing right now about 2,000 tons per day altogether, and Titov, 260. As to payments, you're absolutely right. They were not made in the third quarter. We paid dividends, and we're expecting at least part of the payments until the end of this year. The other payments will come next year. It was in the deal, which was agreed by the board of directors. But we'll receive all the money in a short period of time.
Okay, thank you very much.
Your next question comes from the line of Anton Fedotov of Bank of America Merrill Lynch. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Thank you very much. My congratulations on your strong results. I have two questions, actually. My first question relates to the dividends. You're going to pay a very generous dividend for the first 9 months of this year. What will be the dividend direction going forward? Do you have any target payout ratio in mind? And will you pay a dividend for the remaining 3 months of 2013? And my second question relates to your long-term development plan for TREPS and TTOF. Will you need to raise any additional debt to bring TREPS and TTOF to full production in the next few years, or you will finance it entirely from your operating cash flows? Thank you.
You have a very difficult question about the dividends, but I'll try to answer. First of all, we do not look at quarters, dividends for 3 quarters, dividends for 4th quarter, etc., because it's a formal thing. It's done in accordance with the law. We are paying provisional dividends for 3 quarters just to be in line with the law. We are planning total dividends payments for each year, and you should rely on these payments. As to the, we are not going to pay anything more in this year. We, of course, planned a certain amount in after discussions with the shareholder for next year. It's in a draft business plan, but first of all, the business plan is not yet approved by the board of directors, and second, even if it had been approved, I do not believe I would have been entitled to give you the exact amount of dividends which is stipulated in this business plan, because ultimately it's a decision of the general meeting of the shareholders. But I believe we have been giving you guidelines about what we were doing, what we are planning to do. Usually we are in line with our promises, and you can have a look at the track record of Bashneft and make your own guess whether Bashneft is going to keep its track record or not. I do not see any reasons for Bashneft to make any radical changes from what it has been doing before, because what it was doing before was quite successful. As to TREPS and TTOF, long-term TREPS and TTOF, we do not have to borrow money specifically for TREPS and TTOF. We have our operating cash flow, which allows us to make all the capex for TREPS and TTOF, for Bashkiria, both production and exploration, for exploration in Nenets autonomous region, for capex in refineries, and for paying dividends. And these amounts altogether are being financed from operating cash flow with a certain fluctuation of debt to EBITDA level. When we need to increase debt slightly, we do it. When we see that we can reduce the debt, we are doing that as well, but we are keeping under a certain number of debt EBITDA. I hope I've answered your questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Alexander Kornev of Prosperity. Please go ahead.
Yes, good day. I just have one question on lifting costs. It seems that your lifting costs went up quarter-on-quarter quite substantially. I saw in presentation a bit of explanation on that, but could you please provide a bit more detail? Because you mentioned that it was seasonally, but last year I didn't see that quarter-on-quarter increase in the third quarter of lifting costs. So maybe there is something else. And where do you see the kind of the trends for lifting costs going forward? Thank you.
Денис Станкевич делает. Значит, относительно общего уровня себестоимости, то, что касается затрат на лифтинг кост, наша главная задача держать эти затраты не выше уровня инфляции. То, что мы видим повышение затрат не выше уровня инфляции. Если мы говорить о том, что мы увидели в третьем квартале этого года, то, естественно, мы можем говорить о том, что влияние оказало начало добычи на ТРЭПС Титова, где сама себестоимость извлечения по понятным причинам выше, чем на Башкирии. Поэтому это влияние отразилось и на нашей себестоимости. Если говорить про себестоимость в целом и на ее сезонный характер. Понятно, что сезонность некое значение имеет, связанное с интенсивностью проведения разного рода геологических мероприятий и моментами их списания. Наверное, все.
Denis Sankevich is answering this question. With respect to the overall level of cost level, and separately as far as the lifting cost is concerned, our major task is to maintain the overall cost level below the level of inflation, and specifically in terms of what we've been able to see in the third quarter of this year, quite naturally we may be stating that there has been an effect from the start of the production of the Trepson T-12, where the lifting cost itself, because of understandable reasons, turned out to be higher than at the mature fields in Bashkiria, and that was how it affected the overall picture. Now, if we speak about the cost level generally and its seasonal nature, it's quite understandably that seasonality is there, and that is related to the need to conduct different kinds of exploration activities, and also related to the point where they're being written off.
Okay, thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Konstantin Cherepanov of UBS. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Thank you for the presentation. I have two questions. First of all, as far as I can see from your financial results, you have about 300 million rubles related to the net income from equity, net loss from equity affiliates. So could you please specify how much of that came from Trepson Titov project? And also it would be useful if you give us some financial results of Trepson Titov on an isolated basis, in particular what was project EBITDA, what was the net income or net loss. And my second question is also related to Trepson Titov. As far as I can see, you account for, my understanding was that you account for investments in Trepson Titov on equity basis. But on the other hand, I can see from your financial results that you show capital expenditures on into Trepson Titov project on a consolidated basis. Also, you refer to Trepson Titov production when you explain why your lifting costs increased. So could you please explain how it works, how you account for Trepson Titov for this investment? Thank you.
Еще раз добрый день. Значит, то, что касается убытка от Трепса и Титова, мы учитываем Трепс Титов на сегодняшний день, проект этот в основном на своем балансе, поскольку лицензия на сегодняшний день принадлежит нам. То, что нам приходит в качестве финансового результата от совместной деятельности, это результат от работы совместного предприятия, которое называется «Башнефть-Полюсом», и «Башнефть-Полюс» является оператором на данном месторождении. Убыточность его деятельности в третьем квартале, в общем, я бы не сказал, что о чем-то говорит, поскольку это стартовый квартал и добычи, и, собственно, оказания этих операторских услуг. Ну и, кроме прочего, там есть существенная доля процентных расходов, поскольку предприятие финансировалось первоначально через процентные доходы расходов. То, что касается учета инвестиций по Трепс Титову, то ситуация также следующая. То есть, поскольку лицензия принадлежит нам, то все инвестиции на сегодняшний день идут через баланс непосредственно Башнефти. Эта ситуация изменится, как только лицензия будет передана на Башнефть-Полюс. После этого все сделанные капитальные вложения будут проданы на Башнефть-Полюс, и, соответственно, финансирование инвестиций пойдет дальше на балансе Башнефть-Полюс. Учет этого предприятия в будущем будет зависеть от того, будут ли внесены изменения в акционерное соглашение, и от того, будем ли мы консолидировать результаты работы Трепса и Башнефть-Полюса на нашем балансе. В случае, если Мы будем консолидировать эти результаты, соответственно, вы будете видеть в нашей отчетности все полностью, весь полностью результат, как выручку, так капитальные вложения и EBITDA. Если же этого не произойдет, то это будет приходить как результат от совместной деятельности только в части чистой прибыли.
Спасибо, я прошу прощения, могу один...
Loss from TREPS and TTOF is concerned, specifically from TREPS and TTOF. We are accounting for TREPS and TTOF primarily on our books because the license at this point in time belongs to us. And whatever comes to us in the form of the financial results from the joint operations is the result from the work done by the joint venture under the name of Bashneft-Polyus. And Bashneft-Polyus is acting in the capacity of an operator in this field. Now, the loss generation from these activities in Q3 doesn't really say something because this is the start-up quarter, both for the production as well as for the provision of the operatorship services. Apart from it, there is a considerable share of interest costs because the operation originally was being funded through the interest costs and expenses. Now, as far as accounting for investments into TREPS and TTOF, the situation is as follows. Because the license belongs to us, all of the investments currently are going there through Bashneft's books. That is something that may change as soon as the license is transferred to Bashneft-Polyus, following which whatever capital investments are there are going to be sold to Bashneft-Polyus, and then on funding of investments will be done through the books of Bashneft-Polyus. And so the counting for this in the future shall depend whether there are changes introduced into the shareholders' agreement and whether we're going to consolidate the results of the Bashneft-Polyus operations on our books. In case we do consolidate these results, you will be able to see in our reporting everything in full, full results, both the revenue as well as the CapEx and EBITDA. If this doesn't happen, then this will be transferred as the results of the joint activities only in as far as the net revenue is concerned, net profit is concerned.
Спасибо большое. Могу я еще один уточняющий вопрос задать вот касательно вот этих объяснений? Просто уточнить, сейчас, вот на данный момент, в данной конфигурации, прибыль от, ну, там, условно говоря, выручку и беду от продажи нефти с месторождения Трепса и Титова, она сейчас консолидируется, да, в ваших результатах?
Да, совершенно верно. Она консолидируется в наших
результатах. А оператор вот уговорит...
Just a second. And the follow-up question was that at this point in within the current configuration, is the profit or the revenue and the EBITDA from the sale of TREPS and TTOF crude, is it being consolidated right now? And the answer was yes, it is.
И последнее, по поводу Bashneft-Polyus, вы говорите, что сейчас эта компания несет такие операторские функции. Как, вот, что, это, что, что под этим подразумевается? Она как-то отвечает за какую-то часть добычи или какого рода издержки у Bashneft-Polyus в данный момент?
And the additional follow-up question was about the Bashneft-Polyus, specifically with respect to the company performing the operator's function, and so what is being meant under it? Is it being responsible for any particular share of production, or what are the kind of costs that Bashneft-Polyus specifically is carrying right now?
На сегодняшний день Bashneft-Polyus является полноценным и единственным оператором по добыче нефти на месторождениях Трепса и Титова. Это означает, что они исполняют все функции по добыче нефти. Это, собственно говоря, извлечение нефти, ее сбор, транспортировка, подготовка нефти и работа с пластом. Часть работы они делают собственными силами, часть, на часть работ привлекают субподрядчиков.
Спасибо большое.
And so the answer to this one is that Bashneft-Polyus right now is the sole operator in as far as the production of oil from TREPS and TTOF is concerned, which means that the company performs all of the functions with respect to the production of crude, which is the recovery of oil, its gathering, treatment and transportation, as well as working with the reservoirs. Some of the work they do on their own, as and also bring in external contractors to perform whatever they don't do themselves.
Кроме того, они управляют нашим капексом на месторождениях Крепса и Титова и помогают нам его осуществлять на, в данном регионе.
And besides, Башнефть Polyus also manages our capital expenditures at Streps and Titov and helps us to work with it within specific regional territory.
Your next question comes from the line of Gregory Birk of InvestGaze. Please go ahead.
Здравствуйте, спасибо за презентацию. У меня два вопроса. Первый – это касается потери от налогового маневра. Ранее давалась оценка в 30-40 миллионов долларов в 2014 году. Есть ли аналогичные прогнозы на 2015 и 2016 годы? И второй вопрос – это уточнение по дивидендам. Согласно дивидендной политике, при рекомендации дивиденда Совет директоров ориентируется на показатель чистой прибыли. Мы видим, что чистая прибыль по НСФО сократилась, в то же самое время дивиденд за 9 месяцев превысил ожидания. На какой показатель стоит ориентироваться, прогнозируя дивидендные выплаты в будущем? Это чистая прибыль по РСБУ, свободный денежный поток или все показатели вместе? Спасибо большое.
Two questions. The first one is about the losses from the tax maneuvers, because originally it was stated that there's going to be $30-40 million by 2014. Is there any specific expectations you might have for 2015 and 2016? And the second question, could you be specific about your dividend policy? According to the policy, the dividend payout guidelines by the board of directors are based on the net profit, and we see that the net profit went down, but at the same time the current dividend payout exceeded expectations. So what is the indicator that we should be guided by projecting those in the future, the net profit or the free cash flow or all of the indicators put together? Thank you.
По первому вопросу относительно налогового маневра, действительно мы ожидаем влияния на EBITDA в 2014 году примерно 1 миллиард рублей, но, как вы понимаете, это на самом деле расчет, сделанный в определенных предположениях. Все зависит от того, как поведут себя на внутреннем рынке после того самого налогового маневра. Расчет еще осложняется тем, что его будет достаточно сложно проверить, поскольку на рынке будут действовать сразу несколько факторов, влияющих на тот самый эффект. Прежде всего и главный, наверное, фактор – это изменение акцизного законодательства, которое также будет влиять на рыночную конъюнктуру на внутреннем рынке. Исходя из тех предположений, которые сделали мы как раз оцениваем в миллиард или 30 миллионов долларов. Если говорить про следующие годы, то верно все то, что я сказал, 2015 года. Если пытаться расчетным способом отделить эффект именно от налогового маневра, я считаю, что он будет изменяться ровно так, как будет изменяться пошлина на нефть, на нефтепродукты и НДПИ. Соответственно, мы можем говорить о примерно такой же дополнительной динамике в 2015-2016 году. Но я не напомню еще одну вещь, которая кардинально может изменить ситуацию на внутреннем рынке моторных топлив, которая связана с введением 100% таможенной пошлины на темные нефтепродукты. И, конечно же, очень многое будет зависеть, действительно ли в 2015 году эта пошлина будет введена или нет. Поскольку если она будет действительно введена, мы ожидаем существенного роста цен на эти продукты, а именно на моторное топливо внутри российского рынка, для того, чтобы прежде всего компании, у которых высокий выход темных нефтепродуктов, смогли компенсировать свои потери от этих пошлин. И отделить в результате эффекты от сразу от 3-4 событий существенных, происходящих в налоговом регулировании, будет крайне сложно по результатам этих изменений.
Alexander Kursk, if you don't mind, I'll
Yes, so as far as the tax maneuver is concerned, we do indeed expect an effect upon our EBITDA by 2014 worth about 1 billion rubles. But as you may understand, this is the calculation which was based upon a certain set of assumptions, because it would all depend upon the way that after this particular tax maneuver, the domestic market shall behave. Now, the difficulty is that it's going to be quite cumbersome to verify, because there are going to be several factors at play in the market which may produce this outcome. The first and foremost is changes in the tax legislation which may affect the domestic motor fuels market. And so based upon the assumptions that we put together, we specifically view that at approximately 1 billion rubles or 30 million US. Now, speaking about the subsequent years, whatever I've described about the current situation applies to 2014. And if you try and separate the effect from tax manure, I believe that exactly in the same way, we will witness changes in the oil duty, refined products duty, and MET. And so we are in a position to talk about the very same dynamics which will demonstrate itself in 2015 and 16. But I would like to remind us about one other thing which may dramatically change the situation in the domestic motor fuels market, related to an introduction of 100% customs duty for dark products. And a lot, indeed, will depend whether in 2015 this duty is introduced or not, because if it is, then we will see a considerable growth of prices for refined products, and specifically the motor fuels, inside Russia, so that the companies who have a high output of darker products could compensate for their losses from such duties. And so as a result of it, to separate these effects immediately, you know, from four, three material events taking place in the tax regulation is going to be quite difficult if you are just watching over the results of these changes.
Alexander Korsky, if you don't mind, I'll answer the question about the dividends. Our dividend policy states, if I'm not mistaken, that we are paying 10% of our net profit each year for dividends, not less than 10%. You see, I don't even remember the exact number because, in fact, the policy became outdated. It was accepted some time ago when we were quite cautious about our further plans, about what we were planning to do, and now it's high time to review our dividends policy and bring it in line with our current activities. As to the amount of dividends which is being paid, it's not based on net profit, especially not on net profit from the point of view of pure accounting. It's based on cash flows. I'd like to remember that from our cash flow, we spend money on CAPEX, we spend money on OPEX, we plan dividends, and we plan that our debt-to-EBITDA level doesn't grow beyond a certain level, which we feel is comfortable for the company, taking into account all the volatility in the market in terms of oil prices. So you, in your calculations, should rely on our cash flows, not on our net profit. Thank you very much.
If I may ask another question, just am I right in thinking that there is going to be a review in the dividend policy? And when you say bringing it in line with the current activities, could you please elaborate on that just a little bit?
Whether the dividend policy will be reviewed depends upon the board of directors and the shareholders. My personal view is that it should be reviewed, so it's not really formal. It should be much closer to the reality than the dividend policy which we have right now. But it should be discussed in accordance with corporate procedures, board of directors. I don't know whether it's a general meeting. Probably it should be a general shareholders meeting like that. But my personal view is that it should be reviewed.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Artem Kras. Please ask your question.
Thank you very much for the presentation and congratulations on great results. I have two questions, if I may. First is a follow-up on lifting cost dynamics. So can you please answer whether we should expect the continuing trend in percentage changes in lifting costs as we've seen in the past few quarters, and this is the magnitude of around 20% growth year on year. So should we expect that growth rate in lifting costs going forward or not? And my second question is basically on the sector in general. Given that the sector is undergoing through a consolidation trend, could you please comment if Bashneft would be prepared to participate as a consolidator in this trend, in other words, to make acquisitions? And if yes, what sort of benchmarks or sort of criteria do you plan to use in this regard, like dollar per barrel or what, you know, any other criteria? Thank you.
Относительно себестоимости и ожиданий по ближайшее время, я бы сказал так, что я думаю, что мы в ближайшее время начнем, когда у нас будет накапливаться определенная статистика, мы начнем разделять себестоимость добычи на месторождениях в Башкирии и себестоимость на проекте Трепс-Титов, поскольку это крупный проект. Если говорить о себестоимости в Башкирии, то существенного роста лифтинг-коста мы не ожидаем. Мы будем руководствоваться теми же соображениями, что были и раньше. То есть это увеличение затрат лифтинг-кост не выше инфляции. То есть это мы можем вполне твердо вам обещать, и, собственно, это является нашей целью. То, что касается месторождения Трепс-Титова, я бы всерьез не относился пока к тем результатам, которые показаны сейчас, поскольку это первая нефть, первая добыча и очень мало статистики, чтобы делать какие-либо выводы. Думаю, что серьезные выводы можно будет делать на обратную статистику в этом году и в начале следующего года.
First is about the lifting cost question, and with respect to the lifting cost and our expectations and trends that we may see in the near future, I would say that once a certain amount of statistic data is accumulating, and we shall start splitting the data for the lifting cost in between the Trepson and Titov and the Bashkirian fields, specifically because Trepson and Titov is a major project. Now, speaking separately about the mature fields in Bashkiri, we're not expecting any considerable growth in lifting costs, and we shall remain being guided by the same kind of considerations as we used to have in the past, which is to allow for lifting cost increase not above inflation level. And this is something that we can give you our word for. And as far as the Trepson and Titov is concerned, so far I wouldn't accept the result that we're having right now as final, because this is the first oil, the first production, and so there's not enough statistical data right now to come up with any serious conclusions. I believe that we may do so towards the end of the year or in the next year.
And the second question is about consolidation of the industry, about mergers and acquisitions. We have been quite active in this market for a number of years. We were looking for at different assets, and I would like to stress that some of our assets we didn't want to take even free of charge. Some of the assets which were for sale were overestimated in their valuations. The prices were just exaggerated. Right now, the market of potential acquisitions is extremely narrow. Practically, we cannot see anything of significance which could be of real interest for us. And in very few instances when there is something interesting, the prices are much higher than DCF we can get from these fields. So I do not believe that we'll be able to make major acquisitions in forthcoming futures. Instead, we are concentrating on four areas. Number one, maintaining the level of production in old fields in Bashkiria. Number two, exploration in Bashkiria, which would allow us to maintain the whole level of production in Bashkiria. Number three, Trebs and Titov. And number four, five exploration licenses in Trebs and Titov, which would enable us to grow in physical terms. I hope I have answered your questions. As to lifting costs, I'm sorry, I cannot avoid intervening with this question. Lifting costs in Trebs and Titov are going, will definitely go down as soon as production will grow, because these lifting costs include permanent costs, which will go down dramatically. Right now, the production is too low for make any judgment about lifting costs. When the production, let's say, 1 million, 2 million tons per year, we can speak about lifting costs and their trends. Right now, the trend is only for them to go down. Thank you very much.
Your next question comes from the line of Katerina Filipenko of Wood Mackenzie. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you very much for your presentations. I have two questions. First is, what are your plans for CAPEX for the next 3 years? And the second question is, what are your main export destinations for crude oil? Thank you.
CAPEX for next 3 years. Well, sorry, can you hear me?
Yes.
Again. I just want to say what I have already said. Look at our track record. We haven't ever had unnecessary CAPEX. Our CAPEX is based on a very proper valuation of each particular investment project, whether it's drilling one well or making a modernization of the unit in the refinery or anything. I cannot give you any numbers for two reasons. First of all, we do not give these numbers. Second, the business plan is only a draft business plan. It's not accepted. But again, I can give you a guidance. The CAPEX will increase by a certain amount next year because we are planning to drill more wells in Bashkiria next year. We have done a lot of 3D seismic this year, and right now we're quite sure about where we should place these wells. So it will add to our CAPEX. And second, we start a significant development drilling program in Trebs and Titov, and of course the CAPEX should grow there. But again, I would like to stress it will be certain increase, not any radical increase, not big increase. And was it
Ну, скажем так, мы, наверное, не будем раскрывать полностью нашу структуру реализации нефти, но можем вам сказать, что она учитывает, в принципе, все традиционные направления. Мы продавали и в Беларуси, когда это было возможно, мы продаем по направлению Венгрии, Чехословакии, но более точную разбивку между странами по точному тоннажу, я думаю, что давать вряд ли стоит, поскольку она меняется в зависимости от того, является ли это направление загруженным или нет в данный момент, и в зависимости от того, какие условия на каком направлении мы получаем. Но вот, в принципе, некоторые из них я сейчас назвал.
Now, with respect to the question about the export destinations, I should say that we would rather not disclose the complete structure of our crude sales, but one ought to say that it does take into account all of the conventional destinations, because we used to sell to Belarus when it was possible. We do sell towards Hungary and Czechoslovakia, but in terms of an exact itemization and the volumes in between these destinations is something which is not worthwhile giving, since it is evolving depending upon whether any particular destination is crowded or not at a given point in time, and also depending upon the kind of terms and conditions that we are able, but so far I've just listed to you some of them about.
Thank you very much.
You have an additional question from the line of Anton Fedotov of Bank of America Merrill Lynch. Please go ahead.
I have one more question. Where are you right now in the process of preparation for the potential listing in London that you highlighted several times at the conference calls before? Thank you.
I'll answer this question. For quite a long time, we have been telling the market that IPO can be one of our targets for next year or a year after next. So the company has been preparing for this IPO for a long period of time. Until this moment, no formal decisions were taken. We're still in the process of preparation. When the decisions are made by former corporate bodies like the board of directors, we'll inform the market immediately. Right now, we're in the same state as we were before. We are preparing the company. When the time comes, when the right time comes, and when the markets are right, I believe the board of directors will make a formal decision about that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Matthew Thomas of Barclays. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. I just had a quick question to follow up a comment that you made a few moments ago about the acquisition market in Russia. And I was hopeful that you could shed some light on the kind of assumptions that Bashneft uses when vetting projects, either with respect to the oil price or perhaps even more interestingly, your cost of capital or your required rate of return used when looking at projects. That's my first question. The second one actually is related to the results, and I would like to ask, I noticed that your unit refining cost and your unit transport cost both dropped pretty sharply in the third quarter. I know in the notes to the financials that there's some reference to a volume impact on the unit refining costs, and also a reference to changes in the terms of delivery that could have explained the unit transport cost reduction. That said, I'd just like you to ask you to provide a little bit of color on both of those. Is there a sustainable decline that we should in these figures that we should assume going forward, or are these in fact simply one-off or neutral effects overall? Thank you.
Спасибо за вопрос. Относительно параметров, используемых при принятии решения о сделках M&A, да, в компании приняты определенные допущения, при которых делаются все расчеты и принимается окончательное решение о том, идет компания в сделку или нет. Это жесткие условия, и они ограничивают цену нефти, курс доллара, а также инвестиционную привлекательность проекта, которую мы ждем от приобретаемого актива. Если все эти параметры выдерживаются, то сделка совершается, если удастся по ней договориться. Если параметры по инвестиционной привлекательности не выдерживаются, то сделка отменяется. Не начинается, извините. Относительно второго вопроса по себестоимости. Совершенно верно замечено, что в основном это эффект масштаба, это существенный рост объема переработки в этом году относительно прошлого года. Но кроме этого, и это также есть в наших материалах, как мне кажется, это указание на то, что прошлый год была довольно высокая база в силу большего количества проводимых на предприятиях ремонтов. А именно у нас в прошлом году был остановочный ремонт на одном из заводов, а именно Уфимский нефтеперерабатывающий завод, что потребовало существенного вложения денег и, соответственно, увеличило себестоимость переработки нефти. Относительно транспорта, здесь надо сказать, что затрат на транспорт прежде всего зависит от тех направлений, которые мы выбираем по реализации, и про устойчивость этой тенденции говорить вряд ли стоит, потому что при принятии решений о распределении продукта мы руководствуемся всеми параметрами, и транспорт – это только один из параметров, который мы принимаем во внимание. Самое главное для нас – это лучший нетбэк на воротах завода. И в случае, если лучший нетбэк дает более дальние направления, да, мы пойдем на более дальние направления и будем использовать их, в этом случае транспортные затраты могут вырасти.
So, with respect to the question about the indicators that we're being guided by when we make a decision about any potential M&A. Indeed, the company has a certain set, certain allowances against which all of our estimations are being made, and the final decisions are also being taken in terms of whether the company goes forward with any particular deal or not. So these are indeed rigid conditions which are limited to the US dollar exchange rate, the price of crude, and the investment effectiveness that we may expect from any particular target. If this is something that is met, then we go for the deal. If these targets are not satisfactory, then the company is not making a decision, is not initiating any activities. Now, with respect to the second part of your question about the unit costs, indeed, you've noted very correctly that this is the result of the scale effect in terms of the growth of the amount of refining this year as opposed to the previous one. But besides, in our materials, as I think, there is also an indication to there being quite a high base last year because of an extensive maintenance work being done last year at refineries. For example, we had a stop or maintenance done at the Ufimsky refinery last year, which required considerable investments and consequently affected the unit cost of refining. Now, with respect to the transportation, I should also say that our transportation costs do depend upon the sale destinations that we choose, and I would not prefer to speak or to say anything about the sustainability of this trend, because we're being guided whenever we're making a decision about where to sell and transport, and the transportation is just one of the indicators whereby the most important one is the best possible netback. And if this possible netback comes from the destination, which is separated from us by a longer distance, then we will go for that longer distance as well.
Еще два слова добавлю. Третий квартал – это тот квартал, в котором больше всего используется такой транспорт, как водный. Это период навигации, и в этом году мы впервые вывозили не только вакуумный газоль водой, но и мазут. И это также дало свой эффект. Соответственно, как только период навигации закончится, а он уже сейчас закончился,
An additional comment to the second question is such that the third quarter is the one during which we very actively use waterways for our shipments, because that is the active period for navigation. And this year, we, for the first time, not only transported vacuum gas oil, but also the fuel oil by water, which generated a positive effect. The navigation period has already ended, and so these costs are going to be recovered.
Your next question comes from the line of Alex Fack of Sberbank. Please go ahead.
Hi, just wanted to ask a follow-up question on the dividends. First of all, can we expect a final dividend for 2013? And if we can, then how should we think about the amount? What I mean is, since the record date is sometime in May, will the dividend be equivalent to the free cash flow for the fourth quarter of this year and the first quarter for next year, or is it going to be something different? Thanks.
Thank you very much for your question. I believe I wasn't exactly clear in my answers. This year, in terms of cash, we're going to pay 50 billion rubles until the end of this year. And it doesn't matter whether those are dividends for three quarters or whatever. Next year, I have given you a guidance, a certain guidance. I hinted at least at an amount which is going to be paid by the shareholders. But again, it doesn't matter whether those are going to be dividends for 2013, for fourth quarter of 2013, for first quarter of 2014 or whatever. It doesn't matter. It's a legal issue and accounting issue. I'm talking about absolute amounts and the total amount. I cannot name it, but I have given you the guidance. I hope I have answered your question.
Well, actually, I may have missed the guidance you have given. Could you repeat it?
Repeat it? Okay.
Yes.
in a bit shorter way, this year, total payment to shareholders will be 50 billion rubles. Next year, the amount which will be paid is based on our cash flows after CAPEX, after OPEX, and without increasing debt to EBITDA level beyond a certain level. If you look at the track record of Bashneft, you can make your own guess about what this total payment to shareholders next year will be. And I'm speaking about cash, which will be distributed to shareholders. I'm not talking about legal issues, which are related to whether those are dividends for 2013, preliminary dividends for first quarter of 2014, it will be decided in the due course, as soon as a decision about the amount of dividends which should be paid will be made. Thank you very much.
Okay, that's very clear. Thank you.
Thank you.
There are no further questions at this time, gentlemen. Please continue.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much. There are no further questions. It was a great pleasure to talk to you again. As always, you were really insightful and you have a great feeling of the company. Probably not yet better than we have, but very close to that. It means that the company has become quite transparent. We'll do our best to increase transparency even further. And again, it was a great pleasure talking to you, and hopefully many investors and analysts will join our next conference call, which will be on the results of 2013. And it will happen in April, so it will be a lengthy vacation for everybody. Thank you very much, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. That does conclude your conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.